As you guys know, we are in the sermon series called God's Voice. Basically, we're talking about how do we learn to hear the voice of God? What are the ways that God is still speaking to us today? You know, 2 weeks ago, Jeremy shared about the power of prayer and how important it is to listen for the voice of God instead of talking all the time. Last week, Pastor Sonny shared about how important the Word of God is, how God still speaks and will forever speak through His Scripture, through the Word of God, and how we can validate what we hear by weighing it against what Scripture says. And so today, we're actually going to talk about how we hear the voice of God in preaching. And so pretty much I'm going to preach about preaching. And I'm going to preach about sermons, and we're going to talk about how we hear the voice of God and how powerful the voice of God is through the preached word of God. But before we do that, I want to read a passage. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." Let's pray. Father, we invite you here this morning. And God, I pray this would not just be a sermon about why it's important to listen during sermon time, but I actually pray that today, even in the preaching, about why the preached word is so powerful and important in our lives, I pray that you would actually speak to us. That, Lord, we would hear your voice so clearly in today's word. And so, Lord, I submit every word that comes out of my mouth to the moving of your Holy Spirit. Would you move powerfully among us today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, one of the ways that God is still speaking today is through the preached word, or sermon time, or right now. Basically, I'm gonna preach to you and make you learn why it's important to listen to me when I talk. Just kidding. No, we're talking about why the preached word is so important, why we gather here on Sundays to listen to this guy talk that sometimes it seems like he doesn't know what he's talking about, but sometimes it does. Sometimes he's funny, sometimes he's not. Why do we gather here on Sundays to hear the preached word, the sermon? And what I want to say is this, every time that you sit through a sermon, every time you listen to a podcast, every time you throw on that YouTube clip of Chad Veach or Judah Smith or any of the famous preachers that you follow, every time we do that and we hear the preached word of God is an opportunity to hear the actual voice of God. Not just to get good revelation or head knowledge, but to actually hear the voice of God. See, the primary purpose of preaching is not just to get you to learn things. You shouldn't walk away just feeling like, now I know this, now I know this, this is how I'm supposed to live. The purpose of preaching, this time right here, is to give you the space to actually encounter God and hear His voice. And so it's not about learning. This is not a classroom session. This is a holy altar. This is a sanctuary. When the word goes out, it's an open space for us to hear God and encounter Him. See, 1 Peter 4:11 says this, "If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God." When I read that yesterday, a holy fear came over me. Because what this passage is saying is that anybody that comes forward to preach the word of God, they need to treat it as if they are sharing the actual, very words of God. I want you to think about that for a second. How many of us come here Sunday morning ready to listen to the sermon with the expectation that I'm actually going to hear the voice of God? That the words preached aren't just the words of the preacher, but it's the words of my very own God, of the one that I follow. See, this is the power of the preached word. It's not just the preacher's words or opinions. It's the actual words of God. Now, I used to fanboy, you know, a lot of you who know my past know that I used to do a lot of hip-hop and rapping. And I used to fanboy over this rapper who was an Asian-American rapper, and his name was Lyrics. It's L-Y-R-I-C-K-S, because his name was Rick. Get it? Lyrics? Okay. And I used to love him because I used to hear all these Asian rappers rapping while I was growing up, and honestly, all of them sucked. But when I heard Lyrics, I was so impressed. I was like, man, this guy is actually good. When he raps, it's actually meaningful. It's powerful. Like, it moves me, even though he's rapping about not God, but it's powerful. It's moving. And I remember one summer in Houston, I had the opportunity to do a show with Lyrics. And so naturally, I was so excited. I was fanboying. I'm like, I'm going to meet my hero. He is my young. I'm going to meet him. I'm so excited. And so the show organizers actually let me know that we want to get both of you guys on a conference call. And so we're going to give you a call this Saturday afternoon so that we can talk about how the show is going to run. And I got so excited and nervous at the same time. And so I remember I woke up that Saturday morning at 7 a.m. I made sure to brush my teeth. I made sure to shower, have a hearty breakfast so that I could be ready for this phone call from the one and only Lyrics. And so I remember I set my phone down on the couch right in front of me. And I remember just watching it, just waiting, just ruminating in my mind, what am I going to say? Should I say hello or should I say what's up? Like, how should I respond when he calls? I remember I had such a heavy, deep, excited expectation that I was going to hear the voice of one of my heroes. Now, when we come on Sunday mornings, the question I want to ask you is this. Do you come with that same excitement that the actual living God is going to speak to me? That I am going to hear his words. That it's not just the words of Pastor Mickey, Pastor Benjamin, Pastor Sonny, Jeremy, or David. It's the words of God. And he's speaking right to me. I read this earlier, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, and we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Church, I want to ask, do you accept the words that are preached from this pulpit as mere human words, or as Paul describes, you accept it as it actually is, the word of God? You know, every other week, have you ever had a moment where you came to a Sunday service or you listen to a sermon and the pastor starts sharing and it's like the pastor is reading all of your mail. It's like the preacher is preaching about the very thing that you're going through. You know, every other week I get a message or an email or someone coming up to me saying, Pastor Mickey, how did you know? I say, what do you mean, how did you know that I was going through the thing that you preached about last Sunday about that thing? I say, I don't know. You know, trust me, I'm not that prophetic. I don't know. But this is the key, that it's not me, but it's the words of God that are speaking to you. I tell you, I am not that prophetic to know all of your business. But God knows that when the word goes forth, there's some of you that need to hear that very word at this very moment. It's the words of God preaching to you. I remember when I was in college, as I got called into ministry, I shared this story before, but on my birthday, I drove up to the mountains and I was fasting because I was trying to be holy. And so I rented out this little room in a prayer mountain thing and I was just by myself and I spent the whole day fasting on and praying on my birthday. And I remember asking God, can you give me a birthday gift? And hour after hour passed, and I was not hearing a single word until the very moment that midnight struck. I said, God, you have failed me today. Your word says you never fail, but you forgot to get me a gift. And at that moment, I saw a vision of a Korean fish ice cream. You guys seen that? The one with the red bean and the vanilla ice cream on the inside? I saw that image in my mind, and I thought, man, I must just be starving because I've fasted all day. But I remember God telling me, that's your gift. I looked around and said, God, I don't see no ice cream nowhere. But he said, no, this is your gift. And he brought me to the passage in all four Gospels of the little boy coming before the disciples when they had to feed 5,000. All he had to offer were 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus said, you feel like that little boy. and you feel like all you have is this little Korean fish ice cream. But watch what happens when you put it in my hands. And so in this vision, I put it in his hands, and all of a sudden it started multiplying. He said, I'm going to feed the nations with the small thing that you give me and surrender to me. And so I remember that was the night at midnight, right after my birthday, that I got the call into full-time ministry. I felt like, God, you're calling me to do this for the rest of my life. Well, the next morning when I woke up, I started to question if I really heard God. I started to question if I really heard the voice of God. Have you ever experienced that where you're deep in prayer or you're deep in the word and you feel like you hear God's voice so clearly telling you this or telling you that? But then you wake up the next day and you ask yourself, was that really God? Or was that just me playing myself? Well, I woke up that morning convinced that I was playing myself, that I must have been hallucinating, I must have been starving, that maybe I made that whole thing up because I was actually knocked out from fasting and praying so much. And so I walked away thinking, no, that must not have been real. Well, that night, I went to a revival service where one of my favorite preachers, the leader of Jesus Culture, Banning Liebscher, was preaching. And I kind of explained this a few weeks ago. I thought Jesus Culture Band was going to be there, but it was actually just Jesus Culture, the speaker. And the band that was there was a screamo rock worship band. And so right when I entered through the doors, like, praise the Lord! And then they made everyone look to the north, praise the Lord! And that was, I was like, oh my God, why did I come? Like, why am I here? All of a sudden, Banning comes up. And he starts giving an altar call before his message. And he says, I sense that there's some of you in here that God is calling to sanctify and set yourself apart for him. And the word that I keep getting is you feel like you don't have enough. You feel like you don't have anything. But Jesus is saying, if you put what I've given you in my hands, I will feed the nations. He said those very words. I remember being floored. I was like, oh my God, I did hear his voice. And so he started giving this powerful altar call about accepting the call of God over your life. And I remember thinking, oh my God, this is confirmation, double confirmation. God spoke twice. So good. And so the altar call was powerful. I was already convinced that I had heard the voice of God the night before, that I was called into full-time ministry. Well, we sit down. Banning gets up and he said, I'm sorry, that wasn't even my sermon for today. My sermon from today, why don't we open up to this passage? And it was Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I remember in that moment, I was like, God, how did he know? Was he following me? Was he there on the mount? How did he know? I'll tell you why. Because it wasn't his words. It was the words of God reaching out to me in that very moment, in that very place. See, we often walk away from a sermon with notes, but we should be walking away from a sermon with an encounter, with encountering the voice of God. Listen, notes are not going to change your life, but the words of God, they will. One word from God changes everything, and sermons are an opportunity to hear the voice of God. What if we came to church on Sunday with the expectation that God is going to speak to me? How much expectation would we have? You see, the thing about the kingdom is expectation moves the heart of the Father to action. You see, when I was a children's pastor many years back, I have a habit of promising things before knowing that I could actually deliver. And so I remember telling my kids in my Sunday school class, guess what, guys? We're going to Disneyland this summer. And all the kids, you should have seen them. They were like screaming up and down, oh my God! And some of these kids, they grew up in the inner city, never been to Disneyland. And I told myself, I am the devil. If I do not deliver, I am going to crush a little boy and a little girl's dreams. So there were about 16 kids that were interested in going to Disneyland. I looked up the prices that day, and I started to map out what it would take to get these kids to Disneyland. And I told God, God, this is impossible. I got to move. I can't be here at this church anymore. Parents are going to come with pitchforks. It's going to be over. But I remember that every Sunday when I would come and preach, every Sunday for 8 months, the kids would come up to me and say, Pastor Mickey, we're so excited for Disneyland. We're so excited. I remember one time a little girl came up and said, you know, my biggest dream in the world is to go to Disneyland and meet Minnie Mouse. I have no other dream for my life, just that. And seeing the kids come every Sunday, seeing the expectation in their voice and in their eyes, just sensing the expectation oozing off of them, moved my heart to say, we got to make this happen. And so it took a lot of planning, and it took a hell of a lot of work, but we actually raised all the funds to send 16-plus kids to Disneyland. We brought like 8 teachers because these kids were wild, and we made it happen that summer. There's something about expectation that moves the heart of God to action. I'm not a father yet, but I imagine that when my kid comes to me, that the expectation of me giving them a gift or surprising them with something is going to move me to act. And it's the same with the heart of the Father. What if every Sunday we came with that expectation, I'm going to hear your voice, God? Now, one of the ways that the Word of God, you know, Pastor Sunday preached about the Word of God being alive and active is through the preached word. And this is the mystery that happens. You see, when we preach words from the Word of God, they become the words of God. Let me say that again. When we preach words from the Word of God, they actually become the words of God. It's not the preacher's insights. It's not the communication skills or charisma that make preaching powerful. In other words, it's nothing that I bring to the table that makes preaching powerful. It's the fact, I don't have a Bible like Pastor Sonny did, but it's the fact that the Word of God is preached. That is what makes preaching powerful. The book gives every word that is preached power, substance, and validity. Without it, the words that we're preaching are empty and meaningless. Now, Tim Keller did this great teaching about preaching, and this is what he said. He said, the difference between a bad sermon and a good sermon is mainly the responsibility of the preacher. In other words, if I give a bad sermon, that's on me. I didn't prepare, I didn't get my heart ready, I didn't communicate well, I wasn't funny, that joke didn't land, that story wasn't good. If a sermon is bad, that's on me. And if a sermon is good, that's also on me. I worked hard, I prepped for this, I studied. You know, I practiced that joke in the mirror 20 times before I came. That's on me. The sermon is on the preacher. But he says this, the difference between good preaching and great preaching lies mainly in the work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you could hear a good sermon, but still not encounter God. Or you could hear a good sermon and only feel like it was a good moment between you and God. In other words, there may be moments where you could hear a bad sermon, but because of the work of the Holy Spirit, it's the most life-changing moment of your entire life. I remember that one of my sermons last year, it was for a night service in May, and a lot of my friends had come because it was a night service who I really looked up to. There was this one worship leader that was coming and visiting, and I had bragged about our church. I was like, man, our worship is off the hook. You know, the word's so powerful. You should come. And so he came that night, and I was so nervous. And I remember I preached quite possibly the worst sermon ever in existence. I preached maybe 15 minutes, and then I called it quits. I walked away with my head held down. I even got home, and I cried in my wife's lap because I was so discouraged that I had preached a bad sermon. To my surprise, the next Sunday, about 3 people approached me and said, Pastor Mickey, that sermon you preached last week was so powerful. It's exactly what I needed to hear. I felt like God was speaking to me directly. You see, the difference between a good and a bad sermon is on me. It's on the preacher. But the power of what's being preached is in the work of the Holy Spirit. And so it doesn't matter how good or bad the preacher is. What matters is that we are making room for the Holy Spirit to speak with us. One of my favorite stories, my best man, Christopher, we were in Indonesia, and he was preaching at a revival service, and his translator, his name is Obaja, and Obaja, the problem with him is he's actually not really a good translator. And so Christopher was preaching this powerful word, and he was preaching about a story about lobsters or something. And Obaja, I don't think he knew what the words were. And so he starts sharing, and then I'm sitting with another translator. I don't know why we didn't make her translate for him. And she's saying, no, 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 no. Like, what's wrong? Ibu, what's wrong? She said, he's not translating right. I'm saying, what's he saying? Because Chris is saying that a lobster is going into a sandcastle or something. He's like, he's saying the lobster is going into the lobster. And so Chris is butchering this sermon for 15, 20 minutes. Everyone looks confused. I'm looking to my left and my right. Some Indonesians straight up turning their head like this. I'm like, oh my God, God, we have quenched the power of your Holy Spirit tonight. It wasn't Chris's fault, but it was a bad sermon. But I loved it because this, at the end, we have this thing that we do on Indonesian mission trips where if you just bomb it preaching, all you have to do is just get on your knees and start singing this one Indonesia praise song. Kumau cinta Yesus selamanya. And so Christopher, he knew he was bombing. And so in the middle of him talking, he just did this. And he starts, Kumau cinta Yesus selamanya. And I swear to God, the heavens opened up. Revival fell in that room. It swept across the place. People were coming up to us saying, that was the most powerful service ever. You see, whether a preacher is good or bad, good at communicating, not good at communicating, good stories, bad stories, whether the sermon is well prepared or ill prepared, the work that happens in our hearts, in our lives when we listen, has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, with that said, we are still accountable to make sure we're preaching from the Word of God, make sure we're preparing and taking it seriously. But what I want to communicate to you more than anything is that it's not our words that change your lives. It's the words of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. I remember a few years back, I was part of a ministry and I was part of a church. And I remember there was this one main preacher that everyone loved. And whenever Sunday came, people would be really excited to hear this pastor's words. But I remember there were a few Sundays where we had someone else from the preaching team preach instead of that person. And I remember one time, you know, I was trying to get to church on time with one of my friends. And I was trying to rush. My friend looked at me and said, why are you rushing? This person's preaching. And I remember thinking, oh my God, you're right. Let's take our time. And so I remember we were just like chilling, you know, getting Slurpees. And then we show up late. We had zero expectation because of our preference for the sermon and the preacher. And I remember looking back on it now, I believe that that grieved the heart of God. What if, regardless of who's preaching, what if, regardless of how well they communicate or not, what if we still came with the posture that God could speak to me through this person? How much more would we receive? You see, I believe that so many of us oftentimes miss the word of God, the words of God speaking to us, the voice of God, because we haven't aligned our expectations to the right place. It's the voice of God spoken through the Holy Spirit. Now, Romans 10:17 says this, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Jesus Christ. See, one thing we have to understand is this. In the Bible, God's actions were synonymous with his words. I'll give you an example. From the very beginning of time, when God said, let there be light, he didn't say, let there be light, and then he turned on a light bulb. Let there be light. The words that were spoken were the actions he was speaking of. In other words, when he said, let there be light, light was there. Because God's actions are synonymous with his words. Let me give you another example. You see, God's speaking is his acting. In other words, God doesn't just speak and then act. You see, for me, if I said, I'm going to empty that baptism tank, I would say it first, and then I would move and try my very best to empty it. But the difference between me and God is when God says, that baptism tank, I'm going to empty it, it's already empty, just like that. His words are his actions. That means when he speaks, it is done. This is why God's words are such a powerful thing, because his words aren't just promises that he'll break through. His words are the breakthrough. That when we hear the voice and the words of God, it's not just God promising that I'm going to do this or that. It is actually God doing that very thing that he is speaking, because his words are synonymous with his actions. This is why Jesus, every time he preached, he demonstrated what he was preaching about. He was preaching about healing the sick. Guess what? At the end of that day, people who are sick got healed. That's why when he preached about setting people free who are captive to demonic forces, at the end of that service, he demonstrated that power. Why? Because the power of Jesus was in his words. And if we look back on this passage, Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes from hearing. That means when he says that I'm the Prince of Peace, that he's actually renewing peace within me in that moment. When he says, I am the lifter of your head, he's actually lifting my head in that very moment. When he says that I am your strength, he's actually strengthening you in that moment. What if we received the words of God not just as promises of what he will do, but actually as evidence of what he's doing right now? That when God is speaking to you on a Sunday morning and he's saying, you know what? I know you're worried about your family, but I got them covered. What if we were to believe that, yeah, even right now as you speak that, it's done? You see, faith comes from hearing the preached word of God. Tim Keller says something like this. He says, a good sermon is not like a club that beats upon the will, but like a sword that cuts to the heart. I think a lot of times we approach the sermon that is preached, the word that is preached, as a club that's trying to beat us into submission. How many of you ever walked away from a Sunday service and it's like, okay, I feel like God really wants me to work on, I don't know, maybe not vegging out so much. And we feel like it's a club trying to beat us into submission. It's so hard. It takes so much work. It's like God, the voice of God is nagging me to do this and nagging me to do that. But Tim Keller says that a good sermon is not like a club that beats upon the will, but like a sword that cuts to the heart. In other words, when you open yourself up to hear the actual voice and the words of God in a sermon, it's not, okay, I'll go home and I'll try to work hard on this. It's, okay, God, I'm changed in this moment. It's not, God, I'm going to work on that lust problem tonight. It's, God, I am set free from lust right now. It's not, God, I'm going to go home and try to do some activities that make me come out of depression. It's God saying, no, you are free. You are delivered right now. That is the power of God's preached word. Isaiah 55:11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. Why can we trust God's words? Because he promises it will never come back empty. How many Warriors fans in here? Oh, wow. I thought y'all would be louder. Okay. How many Warriors fans in here? Go Lakers. Oh, hey. Real recognize real. Anyway, the Warriors are playing tonight. Let's say when you turn on the game, you're watching it. I want you to imagine something. Let's just say that for some reason that Kevin Durant today is just anointed by the oil of God. And every time he throws up a shot, it just goes in. And actually, sometimes he's not even looking. He just throws it behind him, and it goes in the basket every single time. In fact, he's trying to pass it to someone. It bounces off Klay Thompson's head, and it goes into the basket. What if every shot he made, every ball, every toss that he threw up went in the basket? You see, what God is saying through this passage is that very thing. That every time God throws up a shot, it goes in the basket. Every time he throws the ball up, it goes in. Every time he, even when he's looking or not looking, it goes in. Every word that comes out of his mouth comes to pass. He is on fire eternally, that every word that he speaks will come to pass. See, the preached word that goes forth never returns void. It always hits his mark. And so, church, what I want to challenge you today is this. Most of you, maybe the only way that you hear God's words or his voice, or you feel like he's speaking to you, maybe the only way that you experience that is on a Sunday morning. Well, one thing I want to challenge you to do is this. When you come to Sunday and you're ready to hear the preached word of God, what I want to challenge you to do is to posture your heart a little differently next time. What I want you to do is I want you to posture your heart. And I want you to imagine that everyone else from the room is faded away. And I want you to imagine that in that very moment, in that space when the preacher is talking, that actually I even fade away, or Pastor Benjamin and Sonny fade away. And I want you to imagine that God is actually in this place. And he's actually standing before you. And he's longing to speak to you, for you to hear his words, his voice, and to believe that as he speaks, that you are transformed and changed, that his words are synonymous with his actions, and that every word that he speaks comes to pass, that it never fails. What if we came every Sunday with that posture? I'll tell you what, that would put a lot of pressure off of me, because I would just come and I might bomb a sermon here or there, but I would trust that every one of you have come with the posture that, God, I'm going to hear your words and your voice today. The last thing I want to share is this, and we're going to wrap it up. Sundays are not just an opportunity to hear the voice of God for yourself, but it's actually a mandate and a calling for you to take the words that you receive and for you to speak it into your own context, in your schools, in your families, among your friends. It's a mandate for every believer, not just the pastor, to preach and to speak, but it's the mandate of every believer who follows Jesus to speak forth the words that they're receiving. The Holy Spirit within you isn't like a lake. He's a river, and he's longing to come out, to flow out of you. And the way he does that oftentimes is through the words that you share with your coworkers, with your students, with your friends, with your family. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Listen, Bible study without Bible experience is pointless. In other words, it's not enough for me just to learn and to know and to hear his voice. I actually have to experience and do what he says to me. We have to live out what we hear. And we have to be the voice of God for those in our lives. What does this look like? Someone I was talking to a few weeks back was sharing with me and a couple of other people that their family was going through a very difficult situation. And this person had to talk to one of their family members. And the thing is, they hadn't talked for such a long time. And this person didn't really know what to say to her family member. And this person was really nervous, but this person felt like God was saying, I have to talk to this person. I have to talk with this family member. I feel like God wants to do something here. And so they talked on the phone. And this person described that at first it was kind of awkward, and I didn't really know what to say, but I knew that my family member needed encouragement. I knew that this person needed strength. And this person just began sharing and sharing and sharing and talking, listening, talking. At the end of the conversation, this person shared that, you know, my family member, through our conversation, felt so uplifted, so strengthened. Even though I didn't know what to say, I made space for God to speak through me. What else does this look like? Christopher was sharing with me about a year back that in his office, sometimes he forgets how amazing this atmosphere is, where everyone's encouraging and positive and loving, joyful. I remember Christopher was telling me in his workplace that one of his coworkers came up to him and said, Chris, like, why are you happy so, like, all the, why do you have that stupid grin on your face? Why are you always so happy? Like, why are you always so joyful? I remember that was an opportunity for Chris in his workplace to be the voice of God for these people, to share that there's a joy beyond circumstance. There's a peace beyond understanding. Will you be the voice of God for the people in your lives? Theologian Dr. Ray Stedman says, the greatest power ever known is the spoken word of God. It has called worlds into being, toppled empires, healed and comforted the sick, shaken the proud, and resurrected the dead. Yet in far too many pulpits, that powerful word lies unopened, unspoken, and therefore uncomprehended. Today, I'm challenging you not just to posture yourselves to hear the voice of God every Sunday or every time you listen to a message, but I'm challenging you to speak forth the word of God in your context, to be that voice of hope, to be that voice of life, to be that voice of encouragement, to be that voice of strength, to be that voice of peace, to be that voice of salvation. And I want to end with this prophetic declaration, and I want you to close your eyes as I declare this promise, this prophetic declaration over you from Isaiah 61. And I want you to receive this as the Lord speaking to you and charging you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on you, because the Lord has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. God, I prophesy and I declare over every son and daughter here this morning that they are able to hear your voice, to hear your words, to receive your words. God, in this season, would you challenge every one of us to posture our hearts to hear you? But also, I charge every son and daughter here with Isaiah 61, that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on everyone, whether they feel like they have a small Korean fish ice cream or much to feed the nations with, whatever they have, I declare that the Spirit of the Sovereign God is upon them, because you have anointed them to proclaim good news with their lips, with their words, to bind up the brokenhearted, to be comfort for those who are mourning, to speak hope to the hopeless, to be life for those who are dead. Lord, I thank you and I release your favor over every single one of them to speak your words in the workplaces, in their families, wherever you've called them. I thank you, God, that you speak. And because you speak and we have heard, therefore we speak. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this house. I thank you for what you're doing in hearts. And I pray, God, that we would approach Sundays differently now. We long to encounter you. We long to hear your voice. Right now, let's just open up a space to hear the very words of God. God, right now, we listen. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it. For some of you, I just feel like you came in here with heaviness, burdens that are too heavy for you to carry. I feel like the Lord of comfort, the God of peace, is saying to you that his burden is light and his yoke is easy. Would you receive that as the words of God? Some of you, I feel like you've come in here this morning and life is just so busy, it's so chaotic, so much going on. And I hear the words of God saying, slow down. Don't be like Martha, who is so busy working that she missed me. But would you adopt the heart of Mary and learn to sit at my feet and rest before you do everything I've called you to do? Would you receive that right now? God, for everything else you're speaking, we say we receive it with a yes and amen. We love you.